Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL. Don't do it. At First Energy Stadium, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Yes, Nate?
Before you keep rolling here, have you seen the pictures or have you been by?
I haven't been by. I've seen the photos, though. I've seen some video clips and photos. I'm impressed.
When they were doing the construction on 77 over the weekend,
yes.
We were going downtown, took my kids to see they saw Joseph and the amazing
Technicolor Dreamcoat.
And they loved it, by the way. It was a great show.
My kids to that. Many years ago.
And but we drove by. We took 90 because you couldn't get down on 77.
Yeah.
And went right. The stadium looks – it's unbelievable how much has been removed already. And you just see how much space is going to be there and knowing the difference in what the video board – it's going to be unbelievable.
That's what's striking from looking at it from the photo standpoint is just the amount of space that's been opened up because more than 50% of the previous scoreboards are gone. They've been dealing with some seating changes as
sure.
well. They're going to add to the lower end, but the removal of seats in the upper tiers – very impressive stuff. The other thing is the scoreboard room. Did you ever go in the scoreboard room?
No.
So the scoreboard room, which has now been completely kind of gutted and transformed because that's going to be the operation center of these new video boards, the new sound system, and that too had to be overhauled. And that's not something the public really sees, but it gives you a sense of how much the new technology that's going to be part of this thing, what that will mean. Oh, my God. It's going to be impressive. It will have the wow factor that these guys have been going for.
I mean,
the planners and the people writing the checks, Jimmy Haslam and Cleveland and so forth. Anyway, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. How about this as a question? We're going to pose a question and we
Do
want
it,
your
notorious.
Responses. So we're going to work on the presumption that Andrew Hawkins will become a Brown. We're just going to, for the sake of asking this question, and obviously we know anything can happen, but we're operating with, in our mind, some confidence, high level of confidence that this would happen, that he comes aboard. So on that assumption, what do you want to see this team do next? What position, what area do you want to see the Browns address? And how do you want the Browns to address it? Do you want another free agent signing at this particular position of interest to you, or should it be in the draft? So let us know about that. Again, call us, tweet us at Browns_daily. We want to hear from you on that. What else? Nathan, I think the other thing to get into here, I wrote a piece for ClevelandBrowns.com. There is a kind of a thread that we've seen with the players who've joined this team and the messages. When you touched on it a little bit earlier in the show, quoting Carlos Dansby on the whole, there's something special going on here. We heard Ben Tate saying, bottom line, in talking about a contract that for him, by no means, in relative football terms, is it a great deal, but it's a deal that he would take because he wanted to be here as well.
Right.
And the structure of it, I know, again, gives him opportunities to make more money, to stay healthy, to get out there, to get that chance. But I think it's all very telling that you heard from him, you heard from Dansby, you heard Dante Whitner talk about wanting to help out in the inner city, remembering his youth as a guy who grew up in the inner city of Cleveland and wants to give back and have that opportunity to do that. There's just a genuine sense and a feel-good sense. And again, this is what I wrote about. Obviously, it's easy for somebody who's getting a lot of cash to say, I love it here. It's great. They're paying me all this money. But really, it's unnecessary once you've signed the deal. You've signed the deal.
Right.
So for them to kind of show that they're all in, I think is more than just happy talk for the sake of fans. I think it's genuine.
I think there is a genuine difference in the way that people are approaching this team now. And I think that, you get a feel for it. And not that, social media wasn't around, but getting somebody who can express themselves on social media the way that Dante Whitner and Ben Tate have done, you can't fake that. That's not something that's going to be faked, because if you do, the backlash is going to be massive. And Carlos Dansby's not on Twitter, but certainly in his press conference, in his one-on-one interview with you and I here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, mm-hmm. he was so effusive in his praise of the city and wanting to be here, et cetera, that is exciting. And I think that, you know, if one of the things that went, you talked about the signings of okay, so yes, DeQuell was here and TJ was here, and now it's Dansby and Whitner. Those didn't necessarily fill a void like we talked about. What are right. the biggest issues remaining? But what they are, I think, in many ways about is changing the culture and changing the perception both in this building around the league of what it means to be a Cleveland Brown. And to me, that is going to be one of the biggest things that they can do with their leadership in the locker room, showing guys coming off of great seasons have a desire to come to Cleveland and play here and be a part of something that they feel is going to be special. And now it'll be about doing it on the field. And I think that can go a very, very long way. Jeremy in Parma, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, I was listening to Mary Kay Cabot earlier, and they were asking her about if we were going to pick up any offensive linemen. She said most likely if it was going to happen, probably happen in the second wave of free agency, and she'd probably touch in the draft. So my question to you guys is what offensive linemen would be open or available in the second wave of free agency, and what offensive linemen would we possibly be looking at in the draft? And I just also want to say real quick is I'm really happy with what Ray Farmer's doing. He's bringing in weapons. He's bringing in people, like you said, that want to be here in this town. But what I also want to say is Trent Richardson got on the media and also said how well he wanted to be here, but that doesn't mean that they produced. I want to see what the coaches do with these players and how well they're coached and how well they produce when they get on the field.
Oh, thanks, yeah. Guys. That's Jeremy, that's a great point about talk is cheap. You mentioned Trent Richardson, though. I think it's a little different with the draft because the team chooses you. In free agency, yes, there's a team targeting you, and the Browns target these players, but you choose them by signing the contract because, by definition, free agency means you can sign anywhere. So when you've signed with a team and you're getting this money, it's just what do you get after that in terms of attitude and approach to it? So I think that's why it's slightly different than maybe hearing it from another drafted player. But your point about what do the coaches do with them, I'm waiting for that as well. And talk is cheap. I do want to see them produce. I do want to make sure that guys, especially like Dansby, who are at this stage, latter stage of their career, are still there. What do you think in terms of the O-line pursuit and the draft maybe being the place to go for that guard position, which I think you could probably find pretty well somewhere maybe between the second and third round?
Right. And as I see it right now, you have certainly an issue with, you know, right guard and corner. And I mm-hmm. think you're going to see both of those be addressed maybe at a free agent level that's not a big splash. I don't know that there are any big splash guards left out there. We talked yesterday about Wade Smith, talked about him coming from the Texans, knowing how to do the zone blocking scheme as a potential there. There are guys out there at the guard position that have played, none of them really young, but I think it's a position you can attack via the draft. And I think it's a pretty good draft at the guard position. I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Suafilo, David Yankee, made their way to the Browns either at the beginning, at the end of at 26 or with 35. Then there's some guys that they could get maybe in the third round that I think are pretty good too. Gabe Jackson from Mississippi State, Brandon Thomas from Clemson, Dakota Dozier from Furman, and Cyril Richardson from Baylor. Those are guys that could be in anywhere in the with, you know, our fourth, fifth, or sixth, seventh type picks in that area. I think you're going to see that be addressed during the draft. The other position for me is cornerback, and there are reports that Aaron Berry was here yesterday. In the building, hasn't really been a factor in the league for a while, but did have a brief stint with Mike Pettine in with the Jets, played with the Detroit Lions as well. I do think corner is going to be an issue, and that's when I look at this draft, you know, the direction that the Browns choose to go is going to be very interesting because you could see a situation where, let's say, they do decide to go Watkins at four, where they then get a corner and a guard with the next two picks, and you're in pretty good shape building a team kind of in that Seattle model where you have everything completely locked down and then putting, you know, you have Hoyer, maybe a free agent is brought in, and then you use a later pick on a guy like Aaron Murray, who I happen to love out of Georgia, to be kind of that third quarterback, the guy of the future that you can plug in there and see if maybe he outplays the veteran. It'll be interesting. But to me right now, guard, corner, number two receiver, outside of quarterback, those are the three positions that really need to be addressed and I think are going to be addressed in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, guard, I think, would be a position to look at there. And I think some of the names you threw out there for their ratings or rankings are possibilities. There isn't much left in of high quality in the free agent market.
Right.
I mean, guys, you know, you see a name like a Travell Wharton, who had been with Carolina and, you know, not a bad player at all, but I mean, a guy that is going to wait and see what kind of money he can still get if he wants to play. Willie Colon has been, you know, kind of all over the place and
right.
has had injury history, played with the Steelers, with the Jets, most recent team, the Jets. And looking at like a Davin Joseph, another recognizable name who had been with Tampa Bay, but again,
hasn't been so good.
I mean, there's reasons why these guys are out there,
right.
And you don't want to just bring in. It's not about just bringing in a body, and you also have to bring in a system fit, like a Charlie Johnson. I don't know if that's, you know, a guy who would make that kind of name, make that kind of transition. From the Minnesota Vikings, he too being a free agent. So the free agency market, I think, at guard, fairly thin, very thin for what this team needs. It's probably the draft that you're going to go that way.
And we also want to find out what you have in a guy like Chris Faulk. Not that he's a guard, but potentially he could end up playing at a tackle, and maybe Mitchell Schwartz could slide over to guard if that's something that this offensive line staff and offensive staff deems possible. We don't know yet. And you still have Pinkston here for now, which is good. So there is some depth, but I definitely think you do want to see a starting level right guard come in who can be that mauler, who can get this game going, fit into the scheme, obviously, that Mike Pettine and Kyle Shanahan want to run on offense and get things rocking and rolling. Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram will join us next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.